Maybe somebody else.
Luigi?
Waluigi?
Waluigi?
I get some vote for Waluigi if that makes you feel better.
Also, Sam and Chloe from Life is Strange.
They're all great characters.
Welcome to the Crown Eatings Podcast, where we talk about our favorite games, video game news, and just about anything else. My name is Matthew, and as always, I'm here with my best friends, Marissa and Satko. I'd like to remind everybody that there are no stupid questions, so I'm going to start us off with a question right now. Marissa?
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
It was an awkward time for me to have a sip of water.
It was like, yeah. I don't know why you went in for a drink of water. You go 12 years without having a drink of water, so. And then you...
There's a drink at that moment. There's a specific reason I'm trying to drink a lot of water, and it's because it's that time of year again. It happens ever so frequently.
Once a year, I lost my voice.
I don't know if it's once a year or if it's once every 6 months. But I lost my voice. I sound weird.
I don't think that has to do with you losing your voice.
Like during Christmas or something, or
it's a stressful time of year. See, but if I drink the water, it goes down.
Why is it a stressful time of year?
I went to emo night and I yelled at the top of my lungs on a speaker.
There's the truth.
The truth shall set you free.
I sang, I danced, I lost my voice.
You mamba'd.
And I don't think I mamba'd at emo night.
Mamba'd?
I didn't mamba either.
I think there was.
There wasn't any at the end.
There was no mambas. There was no mambos.
There was no mambling. There was
a mosh pit. Very different style of.
Did you mosh?
Of dance. I've been known to mosh.
You moshed it up?
I have been.
I've frequented a mosh pit or two.
That's a night.
I've frequented a mosh pit or two.
Would you say it was an emo night?
Oh, callback.
It was very emotional. Anyways, before we divulge too far into the analytics of my vocal cords. Let's divulge. I said let's not divulge. How would you define...
The analytics.
The specifics.
How much voice has been frequented from my voice of vocal cords.
If I drink water... It helps.
Then
sometimes.
You don't have to talk to us. Yeah.
You know what sometimes helps? It doesn't Matt, help. Honey.
Yep.
Honey. It coats the throat.
Everybody keeps saying that. Here's the other thing.
Calling him honey or are you asking if
no,
he wants honey?
I don't call him honey. I call him loser face.
Sugar.
But.
Whoa.
You know, for somebody who doesn't talk a lot, you sure got a lot of shit
came
to say.
Came in hot this time.
Damn.
Ball.
I'm joking.
Yeah. It's all fun and games until somebody loses their voice in a mosh pit and then their friends make fun of them for it.
Yeah.
Anyways, another thing is that at my job I talk a lot. Because I work in customer service and customers expect you to talk. Yep.
First and foremost, a podcaster.
So just
you should introduce yourself to people. As people
Hi
to,
everybody.
To that,
it's me,
to
Matt.
Wow, Sacco, are you gonna be okay?
I'm gonna leave. You guys have a great podcast, and yeah, let me know how it goes.
All right. Well, let's not discuss the analytics of that anymore. What's wrong with analytics? Let's talk about.
I don't want to get into it.
You're looking for specifics.
You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think
it means. What Marissa said.
A system that. Of computational analysis of data and statistics.
Yeah,
that's exactly
not,
what I want to talk about.
No.
Information resulting from the system.
Okay, how many decimals?
I think it is. I think it is time to move on.
Hey, Marissa.
Matt said there's no stupid questions. I have a question.
You son of a bitch.
What is it?
How are you doing this week?
I already answered that. That was a dumb question. That was a stupid question.
Did we do that already?
Answered. Yes.
There's, hey, hold on. Sackle, there's no stupid questions, but there's some fucking dumb ones, isn't there?
Hey, I wasn't listening at the beginning of the podcast. I toned that out.
We figured that out. Yeah.
Marissa, I would say that this probably isn't your favorite type of conversation.
This isn't? But
I'm sure us talking about the analytics of analytics.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm sure that
being
that's not...
wrong isn't my favorite topic, so yeah.
But I'm sure you do have some favorite things.
I do have some favorite things.
Yeah. Why don't you... Hey, Marissa! That was a great... The segue of the year.
No, actually, I'm going to say I think your segue skills rusted a little over the holidays. And with your voice. So I will say, I do have a question.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you guys want to have a topic today, yes, or if we want to keep talking about Matt's voice,
no,
which
we can
I don't
talk
really
about
want
things.
To do. So today's topic, or
hey,
this
Marissa,
week's
what's
topic,
today's topic.
Thank you, Matt. Today's topic is what is your favorite playable character?
This is a
wow,
hard.
Thank you for the
response.
Hard
question.
Yeah.
It's not. It's the easiest question I've ever been answered.
Okay, and Matt,
I've never
only
been
one.
Answered.
It's gonna be a 15-minute podcast. Everybody, buckle up.
Trying my best.
I've ever been
I'm
answered.
My best, guys. It's really hard to be me. I think the easiest, the absolute easiest way to answer this is Noctis from Final Fantasy 15 because he's. The most lovable character that you can ever play as. His
I feel like
sets...
you're saying this because you want me to agree with you on
you
some
don't, you don't
point.
Have to agree. It's just...
You don't have
He's,
to.
It's, you could be wrong.
I want to break my heart.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 15 does something that the other games don't. And it makes you fall in love with the characters and it makes you feel like you're part of the crew. I think it takes the role playing to another level. And some people don't like Final Fantasy 15. You know, I loved a lot of the Final Fantasies. I've played as a lot of characters and never felt like I was part of it. Like I enjoyed playing Final Fantasy 9. It was really cool being in that medieval setting. But when Noctis pulls up on in his Audi as he's off-roading in a sports vehicle, I look at him and I'm like, "Wow, I'm part of the crew." And I think that Final Fantasy 15 makes the characters a lot more personal. And I think that Noctis is one of the greatest playable characters. And I love him. And every day I wake up, I want to be more like him. End thought. Full stop.
End thought.
Would you not agree, Marissa?
I don't think he's on my top five yet. And I feel really bad for saying that because That's I fair. Feel like you just bared your heart and soul.
Do you mind if I ask
that?
And like,
I was like, not same.
That's not but that's same. Totally understandable. That's totally like and again, like I don't think Final Fantasy 15 is a Final Fantasy that everybody loved. Like a lot of people had a lot of
No, I'm not saying I don't love the game. I'm just saying as far as playable characters. So what I really love in a playable character is getting a lot of say in what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, and I haven't gotten a lot of like cutscenes and story-based stuff. I just got one with Prompto. So he was talking about like them knowing each other before they went to high school and they're like talking on this little rooftop. It's very cute. But I don't like, I haven't felt that about Noctis himself. Like I actually feel like I'm falling more in love with the supporting characters than I'm falling in love with being Noctis.
Fair enough.
And I don't even really necessarily like feel like I understand Noctis yet. And that's probably just being not that far in the game.
Yes. So without spoiling too much, there's two very predominant, like there's 15 chapters. But there's very two predominant acts of Final Fantasy 15. And I think 90% of Noctis's character development is in the second half.
Yes.
So I would love to reevaluate your opinion of Noctis post Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And I just think, like, I just don't have that.
Yeah, which is fair.
Kind totally of feeling yet.
Totally understandable. To not, yeah. Like, I have over 100
great
hours.
Great game. Great game. Fantastic yeah. game. I'm like 11 hours in, so I don't yeah. think I'm there yet.
I'm like 100 hours, and it's like, it changes your opinion of the characters a bit, I think.
Yeah. This one's kind of hard for me, because, like, a lot of the playable characters I play are from RPGs, so there's a lot of, like, myself in them.
Yeah.
Or whatever I choose to put in them. So this is very interesting to me. I do really think one of the top ones, and I think all the Dragon Age ones are kind of going to make it on my list, but Hawk really stands out.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the protagonist from Dragon Age 2. And the reason I think Hawk kind of stands out is because no matter the choices you make and no matter what kind of Hawk, like, personality you give, you give him or her or them, you... Like, it's still Hawk. Like, at the end of the day, it's still this, like, there's something constant about Hawk in the sense that they value taking care of their family. The reason for that will differ based on what you kind of choose and what you value throughout the game. But there's, like, some consistencies, like, that you just see throughout. And I really enjoyed that, I think, in part because it was a shorter Dragon Age game. So I didn't feel like I would have had that much time to create this big personality. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of good that there was already, like, a pretty strong one in the character. And yeah, I really enjoyed playing as Hawk. And I think that was kind of the first one that came to mind. I don't know if that's necessarily my favorite, though. Like, I love Hawk, but I don't know. I'm still kind of trying to work out the order of my list here.
Yeah,
that was definitely, like, the first one that jumped to mind.
It's really hard to make a list because it's like I like them for different reasons. So every favorite character deserves the same amount of love, just in it for different reasons. But I think it's really interesting that you go with Hawk because you initially said that you like to create, like, you liked the choices and you like to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're very much a person who likes to play games where you have control over the characters,
yeah,
kind of thing. And then in Dragon Age 2, it's like Hawk doesn't like you have to play as, if I could be mistaken, you have to play as a human, right?
So yeah, you have to play as a human, and their last name is Hawk, no matter which is kind of similar to some of the other Dragon Age characters, because that's how they kind of work around them never addressing you by your first name.
Yeah.
Because obviously everything is recorded. Yeah. So they will give you a last name based off of, like, the race you choose or the background you choose or X, Y, Z. But in the second one, it's just Hawk.
Yeah.
So it's focused on the Hawk family. And it's just human. This is mostly a result, I think, of, like, a shorter production time. Plus, mm-hmm. there was a moment in time where this was actually supposed to be an expansion to the first game and not its standout. Like, so there's just a lot of effects playing into it. I liked it a lot for what it was and for the game that it was in. Mm-hmm. But the other thing about Hawk is you can really custom. So, like, when I'm having a conversation with Fenris, I still get to decide how Hawk is going to act in that scenario, yeah. right? Like, I still, yeah. there's a pretty big difference between me telling Fenris off and me being completely diplomatic with Fenris or me cracking a joke. And that's what I really loved is that yes. choice. Whereas, like, I haven't gotten the option to do that a lot yet with Noctis. Like, there's been one conversation with Prompto that I've gotten where it was like, do you want to, like, comfort him, or do you want to walk away, or do you want to send him to bed, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
Or do you want him to just, like, or do you want to get mad at him? And I was like, this is starting to be, like, I'm starting to feel more like, yes, these characters already had a relationship and I already felt that, but now I'm starting to feel that, like, a little bit more.
So not to sidetrack too much, but I just do want to call this out because it's great. If for anybody who's played Final Fantasy and really wants to, like, get more, there's actually an anime about the relationship between Noctis and Prompto. That talks about, like, their backstory. So, like, definitely check it out. It's called Brotherhood Final Fantasy 15. It's like a little, like, mini anime series. Is it on? And it like kind of talks about. Oh, I don't know where it's able to stream. I think it's on YouTube. Oh. Okay. I think I watched it like on.
Sure.
It's not like it's not hard to find.
Is it like officially on YouTube or is it unofficially?
Yeah. No, it's posted by like the Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, okay.
Page. I think there's
like. All right, that's cool.
It's cool. Check it out. That's all I wanted to say about that before we get sidetracked. But I also want to say that I don't think there's too much choice base. Like there is some stuff that you can do in Final Fantasy, but like Final Fantasy have always been a much more linear game than Dragon Age.
I don't think that's fair for you to say because the Dragon Age I'm talking about is probably one of the more linear ones. Just because there is a lot of restriction in what you can and can't do. What I am saying is like, yeah, in like individual cutscenes, you're choosing a lot more.
Yeah.
So there's obviously going to be a lot more choice. I don't exactly mind that there's not a lot of choice because the other character I want to mention, and I think Sacco might really agree with me on this one, was Geralt.
That's what I was going
to
say.
So I had a lot of fun playing as Geralt.
Yeah.
In the same way, and this is kind of where my brain went, it went to Hawk, because obviously I'm going to pull up Dragon Age anytime I can. And then it went immediately to like the what I kind of feel like is a very similar play style, not play style, but like character style in the sense that Geralt is very built. Like he has a built character. He has a built, you know, history. You're not really making decisions on that history necessarily. There's kind of already a setup there. And he does have a personality that you can't fully override. And I found that actually a little bit hard. But you can
sway it one way or another,
right? Like you can kind of slowly like sway from side to side. But Geralt was super fun to play as because I really loved the monster hunting.
Yes.
And the like knowledge base that he had.
Yeah. And the fact that you had to use the knowledge base, because if you like Geralt himself was not overpowered enough to defeat monsters without the knowledge base.
Yeah, like Hawk could go into any situation, and if you just had buffed the character enough, it was gonna kind of work. And I guess the same might be kind of true for the Witcher. Like if you buff Geralt a lot.
I guess, but if you like
It actually has like much more of an effect if you go into each fight, and some fights you wouldn't actually be able to do. I'm thinking now actually because some of them you do actually have to use certain signs to make things vulnerable and stuff.
Yeah.
So like some of it just makes it easier.
Yeah,
the race. But I really enjoyed that part of the like everything in the game really fit Geralt. And so that like complemented the fact that he was the playable character. And so I had a lot of fun playing as him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very human. Like, yes, he's a Witcher. So that's not exactly true. But he felt very like
vulnerable,
toned down. Yeah, vulnerable. Thank you.
Relatable, because would you say?
You play as maybe not relatable, Siri. Relatable, not so much.
Like relatable in a sense of like he has
relate with him.
He's struggling with his work.
He has a hard job.
You know what? He actually was a little relatable when he kept running out of money.
Yeah,
I found you know, like he was like, got to take some contracts, not wanting to charge too much, but understanding you just put your life on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I felt that a lot more. And then you play as Siri for sections, and I've talked about this before, but you basically play as Siri, and you're just like. At one point, there is one scene where you are running away from. I'm not going to give too much spoilers because I actually do want Matt to play this game, and I think he's going to love it.
It's on the list.
It's on the list.
It's on the to be played list.
Yes, you are running away from a house, like through a swamp, as Siri. And she can run really fast, so she can, like, dash, like, really far ahead. She, like, kind of, like, riffs a little bit, I think, through, like...
Yeah.
It's, like, this weird, like dash thing. Through
time, kind of,
Yeah, essentially. So she's doing that, and you have to obviously recharge that. But they're just throwing every enemy you've encountered so far at you, and you're mowing through them. Like, you don't... I actually didn't understand when I first played it, and it was... really funny because I had this conversation with Sacco afterwards, and I was like, I was trying to fight everyone because yeah, I didn't understand I was supposed to just run away.
Yeah.
And I was stopping to fight them because, like, in some games, you know, like, they end up blocking your path. And that's what I thought was happening because there were so many.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to. Like, you're supposed to kind of mow through the ones that you have to, but then you're supposed to keep running. And I was, but she was able to handle it up to a certain extent because she also regenerates. I think she regenerates health, like, as she, like, gets away from it. It was ridiculous. And so, like, Siri wasn't really my favorite. Like, yeah, it was fun for, like, 2 minutes, but I wouldn't have wanted to play a game as her.
Yeah.
Because she was just and so OP.
It also, it just makes Geralt way more, like, personable.
Kind of. Because you're like, this is.
I haven't played the game, but obviously I'm an expert on it.
Yeah. You look at Siri, like, Siri exists and she can do basically whatever the fuck she wants and not really have any consequences. Where Geralt, if you, like, run into one monster, you're like, ah, fuck, I wasn't prepared for this. And you might die.
Yeah.
Like,
you might die. Or you can't run away from things fast enough. So you have to actually be really careful, like, when you're going into new areas, because if you get overcommitted to a fight, like, you might kind of screw yourself. Or, you know, he takes a lot of fall damage, so, like, you can't just jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
And you can do all that stuff with Siri. Or jump out of a
balcony. So...
Well, we don't have to talk about that. I wanted to know.
I know you did. You found out.
I found out. You fucked around and you found out.
Fun fact.
Yes.
I did it really slowly, but I jumped off a cliff in Pokemon Scarlet and didn't take full damage. So you can maybe... Maybe the Pokemon character is stronger than
Geralt. I do enjoy that in Final Fantasy it doesn't seem to have fall damage either. Yeah.
I never, like, flew off. Like, I kind of jumped and then slid.
Well, it kind of seems to stop you if you're jumping off something really, really high. Also, the only kind of thing is if you jump off something too high, he does a roll out of it. So it slows you down. And it really annoys me because he does actually move quite slowly sometimes. So, Geralt is on the list, though, like, because of that.
Saka, did you have one that's not Geralt, or?
Yeah, so I had a few that I wanted to go through. Geralt was definitely one of them. I, like, going back to, like, the games that I played, like, kind of more as a kid, like, Crash Bandicoot. I loved Crash Bandicoot. It was, like, the perfect mix of, like, silly and, like, not taking the game seriously, but, like, it fit the game so well. Like, kind of in the same way that, like, Geralt fits the Witcher so well. Like, the Crash Bandicoot games and, like, the style and everything about it fit that character so well. I just remember, like, if you, like, left it, like, if you just, it was, like, but this is, like, the classic, like, PS1 days where, like, almost every character did this, where if you left the game unattended and you didn't hit a button for a while, he would turn around and be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, where did you go?
We have things to do.
Yeah, we have things, like, I have to run. Where are you? Like... Make me run. But yeah, like Crash Bandicoot was a big one, definitely as a kid.
Was it so I think that it's funny because, like, my first thought initially, and I'm sure Marissa was the same, was like RPGs, and it's like these, like, role playing characters. But my second thought was Luigi. Specifically because, like, in Mario and Luigi, like, They had different powers. Like, Mario was, like, shit, and Luigi could, like, jump higher. And I would want to play, like, I think it's so much cooler playing as Luigi, or, like, Toad was, like, really fast. I'm thinking specifically Super Mario 2 or Super Mario. I don't know about Super Mario 3, but Super Mario 2 specifically, like, the you can play and, like, Peach would float. So, like, you could jump and float. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, why would you ever play as Mario? Or Mario, like, why do people are like, yeah, let me play as the shitty character. But it's like, Luigi's so much cooler. Like, I would way rather play as Luigi than Mario.
Yeah,
he's my favorite playable character.
I think it's a difficulty thing, Matt.
Fair enough. I mean, hey, fair enough.
Fair enough.
Not me. Like, I don't want it to be harder.
He's like, I don't understand this. It's like, because it makes it
harder. Yeah, fair. I guess.
No, I get what you're saying, though. Like, there is, like, something cool about playing as, like, Luigi. Yeah. I think one that's interesting that kind of popped to mind was actually Link. I've always liked playing as Link.
Yeah.
He's which is funny because he's very, he never talks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, but that's fine. It's again, complete opposite of,
yeah,
like that customizable, like no matter what, even Breath of the Wild, the open world game, like you still don't really have a choice of how
Link. No, but I really did. So I enjoyed that in the memories.
Yeah.
When you found the memories and then it would show the scene and then it was like Princess Zelda just
monologuing.
Just talking, monologuing. And then she'd ask him a question. He'd just like look at her and he'd be like, she'd be like, oh yeah, of course. And you're like, did he say something?
Yeah. They definitely play with that a lot. Like there's a lot of, especially the older games are like just two dots will, or three dots will appear and they'd be like, oh, but of course there's no, and it's just like, Link's just like,
yeah,
let me speak. But
let me speak.
I actually love it because they're all Link. Like every Legend of Zelda is Link.
Yeah.
And they all have such different personalities while still being recognizably like he'll like shrug or like he'll make a face and it'll be like classic Link, but it's still such
classic Link.
Such a brand wide new game, range.
Brand new world, yeah. Brand new classic. System. Never seen these enemies before, like, but classic Link.
Like completely different. Like sometimes he's a kid, sometimes he's an adult, sometimes he's a wolf. And it's like just classic Link.
Even Wolf Link, though, like it is true. He still felt like Link.
Yeah.
He really did.
And it's like, how do you create such a noticeable and memorable character that never speaks?
That's impressive.
That's really impressive. I think Twilight Princess is my favorite Link.
Link. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Kid Link, to be honest. I prefer
a
bit older.
I did end up loving Breath of the Wild Link through the memories. In fact, I was watching the one memory and I was like, and I tried to make a mental note of this. I was like, when me and Matt talk about this next, I have to tell him how this game has reawakened my little crush for Link that I had when I was younger.
Is it little?
Because
is little the right word?
Yeah, well.
We can call it a little. Crush for now.
It's a little crush. Yeah. But like I was like, they did a really good job with like making him feel, and they always do a really good job of making him still feel like Link without feeling like the same Link, but also without feeling like a different Link.
Yeah.
Whereas I do different, feel like Zelda sometimes feels
different. 100%.
But she's just still called Zelda.
Yeah. Zelda definitely has different very different roles in the games, and in Breath of the Wild, like it's kind of sad that you didn't see more. But it's also like for the story, I get why. Really excited for the second one, because I think Zelda's gonna play a much bigger role. So really hopefully. Excited to see where that goes. Yeah, well, hopefully,
hopefully. I didn't mind it for the first one, but yeah, I do hope she's more involved because she should be.
Would you say Twilight Princess is your favorite Link as well?
Well, Twilight Princess was the first Link I encountered. And then I just didn't understand the other Links, even though they were still obviously Link. Because I played, like, the Majora's Mask and
Wild Take
the Ocarina. And then there was another one. But it was old. It might have been, but it was very, and I just like the Link just felt so lackluster for the Twilight Princess version, where he really did have like, you know, he never talked, but I felt like he was doing a lot.
He was sassy.
He was doing a lot.
Twilight Princess Link was full of sass.
Yeah. Fair.
I think so the first one that I played was Link's Awakening, and the second one I played was A Link to the Past, and my favorite one is still Twilight Princess. So it's not even nostalgia. It's like, that's just like a really fun and cool Link. And the fact that we can have this conversation still blows my mind, because it's like, they're all the same, but they're different.
Yeah.
And like, that's those games definitely did something crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
To this day.
I agree. I feel like Matt and I just went off for a minute. So, Saka, do you have another one?
Yeah, I can go again. I feel like I did like a top five because I couldn't really pick between the top five. So I'll go with another one that we've all played, which would be like Richthofen, Dempsey, Takeo, or Nikolai.
I was hoping somebody would say this. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go like out of the, if I'm picking one of them as my favorite, it's gonna be Richthofen. But yeah, like they were like classic characters.
Richthofen playing as Richthofen when you're playing that many hours of zombies,
yeah,
makes it more interesting. Because yeah. I just really enjoy the voice quotes so much.
Yeah.
And before you were able to pick or know which one you were going into the match as, I used to get really annoyed because like it was only like a 1 in 4 chance I was getting Richthofen.
Yeah.
And so, but I did like listening to his voice quotes the most. I know they also have a lot of the lines that break the fourth wall kind of thing, where they, you know, like if they're getting kind of swarmed, they yell at the player.
Yeah, they did that a lot. Games,
which I did enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, they did a lot in Black Ops 1 too. I think like Dempsey yells at you to like put the chips down and pick up the controller or something. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
I think that's something really weird because they don't seem like playable characters to me. And I know you're playing as the character. Like, I know that that's
yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
But it's like the voice quotes always felt like they like were
they're part of
watching
the
me.
Yeah.
Like they were not, I was not playing as Richthofen. I was playing as random generated pixels and Richthofen was watching me play and being like,
yeah.
He would quote, his quote would come up and I'd be like, classic Richthofen. And then I would continue playing as random soldier.
Really?
Like it doesn't feel like, really? It feels like he's watching me play and being like, so I like he's narrating it. He's like the story is coming from like a separate thing and he's narrating it. And it's like, I'm playing as a random soldier and he's just quoting over. I don't know. In my head, that's the way I always took it.
I think that's where you started. Because I started with Black Ops 3, which is way more story heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you started like at story, World at War,
and you guys
right?
started...
World at War, there was no characters.
And this like, is why it's first that's what I mean, though. Yeah, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you really started when it was for unidentified soldiers.
Yeah.
And then in... So, like, the first two maps, you were just random soldiers. And then the third map, it was, like, these are the characters. But you would still be playing as, like, a soldier. And, like, you can hear them talking on the radios. So it was always just, it was always, like, third person for me. And then in the later games, like, the cutscenes would happen. And I'd be like, that was a crazy cutscene. Let me go back to playing as soldier 115.
Identified. Soldier number one.
Yeah. Yeah, I get how you would... I feel like this is where you start to play it. Like, I really did feel like they were characters. Especially because I started... Because I started with Black Ops 3 and because I played a lot of Duraisendrock and the Giant, which is Duriz. And so those two, they actually have a lot of... And I never played by myself when I started. I always played with one or both of you. And so... I feel like I got a lot of banter between them, which made them feel more like they were actually there.
Yeah.
Right? They would say something, like, even when you start the map, they would be arguing or whatever. They'd be, you know, saying something about, like, Richthofen, like, where did you even come from? Like, what the hell are you doing, basically? Or, like, why did you do that? Or why are we here? Or I don't want to be here. And then, like, they would comment on stuff that each other were doing. So it did kind of feel to me a little bit more like you were actually playing as that character.
It was also, if I'm not mistaken, like they would show you the character in the lobby. So you knew what you were getting into.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you'd be like, oh, I'm playing as this person today. And then like as it was, then the cutscene would play. Like it was much more cutscene heavy.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like I remember it would just be like the loading screen would just have their four descriptions. Then you'd be like, who am I? And you'd run up to the other character and be like, who am I? Who are you?
Who am I?
Who are you? Who am I?
Yeah, and then it's like their quotes were like they had like quotes and like character styles, but it's like they were it was such early stages.
I mean, that's fair. I've talked about this lots, but like how I got into it too was understanding the story. Yeah. So even though I did play more of the Black Ops 3 to start, we did still start with Black Ops 1, but the only reason I got into like wanting to play further was because I said to Sacco, what are the zombies saying? And he said, Sam. And I said, what the fuck do you mean?
What does that mean?
And, I don't want to say Sam.
I was like, and then I understood all the, like, then I knew the story, and then I understood the comments, and then I understood the characters. And then from that point on, they were always characters to me. But I get if you didn't have that kind of from the get-go, then you wouldn't necessarily have had that experience.
Definitely, but also, like, agree with you, also great characters. Like, I don't, I'm not trying to say that they're not great playable characters. They are fantastic, fantastic characters. So I have another one, and this might be surprising to people, but from Kingdom Hearts, my favorite playable character.
Yeah, I didn't
That wasn't the surprising part. My favorite, like, I love playing as Sora, but my favorite playable character, and you technically play as him in some of the games, is Riku. Because I think Riku's story is so much cooler. And a lot of the gameplay is the same when you play as like Roxas or Aqua or Ventus or other. Like, I could just keep going. But Terra. But my favorite one like to play as is Riku, because his story and like the gameplay, like I said, the gameplay is not different. It's just his story is so much cooler, and the shit that he went through, his journey to the dark side and his redemption into light. And it was just like, I love playing, like if I had to pick any of them, Riku would be my go-to. And I don't know if that's the surprising part, because I think everybody expects Sora to be like this absolute like boss character, and he's so cool and fun, and he wears big ass shoes, but he'll never be as cool as Riku.
And... That's interesting. I don't know enough about it to be shocked by it.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I feel like that's where I'm at.
Yeah,
but I do believe you when you say like that is probably not like the most popular of the opinions.
Yeah, I think everybody wants to like Sora's the main character for all of the main titles. And like you play him so often that people just fall in love, and it's like you gotta take. I think all I'm trying to say is you gotta stop and smell the roses sometimes. You know, can't just follow the main story. You gotta look into the subtext to really unlock the finer things in life.
Yeah. I think Sacco didn't like that comment because he's just yawning all over the place. And yes, I'm going to call that out, even though you could have got away with it.
I'm doing my best. I'm tired.
You know what you're not going to like? My voice registering at a tiny little decibel. So good luck.
So I think I'm going to just mention my other kind of two main ones. So this is obviously from Dragon Age Inquisition and Dragon Age Origin. So the Warden is the playable character in Dragon Age Origins, and then you have the Inquisitor. What I love about these characters is that I get to choose a lot of what they do and a lot of how they interact with their world, but there is certain things that I don't get to decide, so they do still feel a little bit like not like a blank slate, like some games where you're, you know, just kind of like wandering or whatever. Which has been kind of more my experience with Elden Ring, where, like, you don't really have...
Guidance?
A lot.
Yeah.
Well, you that, and, like, you don't have necessarily, like, a huge backstory that, you know, has created a personality. Yeah. Whereas, like, in Dragon Age Origins and in Inquisition, both the Warden and the Inquisitor will have certain things that are already kind of predetermined. This is a little bit more, like, I'd say, I think the Inquisitor is a little bit more of my favorite, because I, like, the Warden will always have a place in my heart, but the Warden has such a mismatched journey. Like, it's just, like, there's so much going on there. And the Inquisitor is like, the entire time, kind of no matter how you play it, although I guess you can kind of like embrace it at some point, but you are kind of like, I didn't ask for this. Like, yeah. I didn't want this. I didn't ask for this. This is a lot of pressure and you're kind of throwing me into it. And you can kind of take control of that, but there is that feeling at the beginning. And I do really like kind of creating a character from that point, because I feel like that's how most of us would feel if a giant hole just opened up in the sky.
I mean, like, fair enough.
And we got blamed for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But who else would cause the giant hole in the sky, Marissa?
Well, I believe you would, but I don't believe I would.
I was like, this is just another day. This is just this is just the, that work-life balance, like, creeping up again, you know?
Yeah. What do you guys, like, I don't know. Do you guys have any others?
I like being told what to do. And I think that's why... I think that's why I like Final Fantasy so much, because it's like the story's like I'm playing a movie. I'm playing a book. Like they're still role playing games. I'm still role playing as Noctis, or I'm role playing as even Link. And I love just what is the story? Let me unlock stuff. And I can take my time with it. I can level up, I can search for stuff. But, like, the thing with Dragon Age is just, like, the fact that you have so much control over it. It's like, I don't want to create a character. Tell me who the character is and let me play as them for... Let me not be myself. Let me play as this predetermined... Does that make sense? You did make a puzzled face. So, like, are you...
Yeah, no, I...
Where'd
so
I lose
the
you?
The reason I'm making a puzzled face is because you don't have to play it yourself. It's not like... They took a snapshot of you and was like, Matt Detto is now the Inquisitor.
not necessarily the right choice of words. More of like, I don't want to create
a character. Don't want to put in the work.
You just want to experience the story. You want to
Yeah, and that's fair. It's a different type of RPG. It's a little bit of a more, you have a little bit more legwork in it. And the joke is, you know, that the character creation takes about 7 hours. Yeah. And then you actually get to play the game. If you're lucky. Yeah. I really like that is something I really enjoy, and it is something I found more interesting when I couldn't do that. So like when I couldn't do it fully for Dragon Age 2, I was like, that's interesting, because it's very different for this franchise.
Yeah.
And then when I really couldn't do anything for Geralt except, you know, choose his haircut, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy this as much as I have enjoyed playing Dragon Age. And everyone keeps saying that I will love it because I played Dragon Age, but I'm not so convinced.
Do they understand what you like about Dragon Age?
But I think that's not what I like about it specifically. I think that is a benefit of it, if that makes sense. So that's not a make or break thing for me. Like, I don't care if the character is pre-created. This is the conclusion I've come to. I don't care if the character is pre-created for an RPG, as long as I get some say along the way that is significant. Because I more struggle when the say doesn't really determine anything. And whether that means it determines something story-wise so I can drastically change the outcome, or if it just means I can control the build of the character, so I can control whether I'm using magic and or whether I'm, you know, bow and arrowing it, or whether I'm, you know, leveling up certain things, or if it means I can control certain outcomes, which was kind of the experience with The Witcher as well, right? Because you can control to an extent.
Maybe certain, like, outfits. Like, maybe so wearing a skirt instead of a pair of pants or shorts.
Yeah, you can control what Geralt wears. You can control, like, his hairstyle. But you can also, so when you go on quests and stuff, there are ways to get different outcomes. And so you can, and what I thought was really interesting as well is there's different quests that he can fail in-game and the game doesn't end. Like, you don't restart the quest, right? Like, it's just that's now a failed thing. And that was really interesting, because
that's really a cool take on it though. Like,
yeah,
refreshing.
So when you're playing a Ciri, even there's a race that you can lose, and it's not a big deal.
Like, but if you, that's it.
But you do get a different little cutscene afterwards because you lost the race, and so it's a bunch of men basically being like, oh, she thought she could beat us, kind of thing. And it was very like, oh shit, like I screwed that up, versus, you know, like doing something like that. And also, like, Geralt can make choices that determine whether, you know, Ciri's going to end up in certain positions at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. But even, like, there's one companion who you can fully kill off at one point because she makes choices and you react to them. And you don't have to kill her off, and you don't have to let her go, and you don't have to save her, and you don't have to do any of this. It's kind of all a decision that you get to make as Geralt, knowing the things that Geralt knows. Mm-hmm. And that's what I enjoyed.
Yeah.
But that did feel very different from playing Dragon Age Inquisition, where I am...
like the sole choice maker.
I am role-playing in Inquisition, and mm-hmm. I am cosplaying as Geralt.
Fair enough.
And you want to cosplay, and I don't really care, as long as the game's good.
Yeah. And again, like... there's no wrong answers here, and like if you're listening to this and you're looking for a game where you can make greater choices that affect the outcome of the game, like Dragon Age is like a fantastic game for that. I think like personally myself, I just love, like, I fall in love with the characters, like when the story's being told. Like Final Fantasy IX, I don't think there's a single choice you can make, like, throughout the entire thing that will affect a single outcome. Like, the only thing you can do is level up your character differently, and even then it's just like you still have the abilities. Like, you can't choose what ability tree or anything like that. Like, you can't change anything except for the difficulty of the game. And I fell in love with those characters, whereas I just don't like having choices. You know what I mean? Like, I will not fall in love with a character where I am choosing, like, the way that they act and the way they think, because it's just like a part of it, no matter what, will be something that I've created. And it's like, this is what I want the outcome to be. Whereas in the other way, I'm like, oh, I didn't think I was going to like this person, but I have grown to love them. And like, that's what Final Fantasy and like The Legend of Zelda, even though it's always Link. It's kind of like I fall in love with the story, and I want to almost like watch it and be a part of it, but more like just follow through and be like a complete outsider. Like, I don't know why, I don't know why, like, I can't explain it other than like, I just want to go along with the journey. But that's why I have favorite characters, is because like all of my favorite characters are things that were predetermined.
Interesting. Right? Interesting. I think that's so weird, because
it's but and there's nothing wrong with it. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with
you. No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. That's not what I said. That's not what I meant by weird. Yeah. I just think that that's so interesting, because when I play those characters, I focus on then the relationships they make and the side characters. Mm-hmm. And I get that same joy out of the side characters rather than my playable character. So that's just interesting that you're going into it kind of wanting everyone to have that same experience. I will say I'm surprised, though, that Sacco hasn't mentioned Master Chief.
Well, you guys didn't let me finish my top five.
Hey, Sacco, do you have any other? What is Sacco, hit me with your top five.
I'm so sorry. You cannot complain that we did not let you finish. You know how these podcasts go, to speak up.
I know.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to interrupt. You guys were saying very, very nice stories about your games you loved and all this stuff, and I didn't want to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I waited for my turn and patiently, and it never came, and that's okay. That is okay.
You couldn't bring up Master Chief smoothly without having to talk about the fact that there's no story or character development.
There it is.
I'm just like, there's just so much story and dialogue, and I'm just like, I don't know, he has a big gun,
there's no segue,
there's a cool helmet. No,
I don't know what to go from here. So like, I already mentioned Crash Bandicoot and Geralt. So I was gonna go Master Chief like slash Noble Six. So Noble Six is the character you play as in Reach, in that you just make a random Spartan. So as you play Reach, you unlock, like, campaign and multiplayer both leveled you up in the same, like, progression, and you unlocked armor. And as you unlocked armor, you changed the armor. It changed in the campaign.
So what you're saying...
So, like, whatever Spartan you created was in the cutscenes, in the stuff. Very like, cool. It was a very cool addition to a game that you only ever played as Master Chief, and he had one set of armor, and you couldn't do anything with it.
So what you're saying is that Master Chief is... The story of Halo is so... non-present that Master Chief is interchangeable with a random character that you can generate.
No, so wow. Master Chief is not, well, he technically
you,
isn't.
You labeled them as the same. You said your favorite character is Master Chief slash,
slash Spartan Noble Six.
Noble Six. Noble so Six. What you're saying is that the characters are so interchangeable that they don't deserve their own point.
Well, no, I needed to keep it top five. Check I felt like they both deserve top five, but I wanted to include two other people.
This is empty. I've been trying to drink my water for the past half hour, and it's been empty the entire time. So sorry, please continue.
It's okay. Kratos from God of War.
Great choice. Kind of Thank an you. Asshole. He's kind of
yeah, a he's kind of an asshole, but it's just fun to play as him.
Kind of.
He just doesn't give a fuck.
It's fun to play as asshole sometimes. It's a role-playing game, yeah. But he's not a nice person.
Yeah.
He maybe gets better in Ragnarok, but in the first three, he's canonically certified not fun.
Yes. The first three, he has questionable characteristics.
Yeah.
The PS4 / Ragnarok versions some are much, much better. Some character growth. Yeah. And then Joe Martin / the Be A Pro guy from NHL. Because you can run through your campaign.
What?
You run through your career, be whoever you want. You play online as them. You make your little online club.
I wish.
No, it's a playable character.
It does not count.
Just everybody.
I can log on to my PlayStation right there now, turn on NHL, and play as Joe Martin, number 42 for the Maple Ridge Thunder.
This does not count.
I just want everybody listening, if you could see Marissa's face right now, priceless reaction. I have some questions. Did you create the character of Joe Martin? So you said I can name my person anything in the world, and I'm gonna name him Joe Martin.
Joe Martin.
And then you also said this is one of the favorite characters I've ever played out in my entire life.
M-A-R-T-E-N Martin. Joe Martin.
Yeah, get it right, Matt. It's obviously the top five video game playable character. I can't believe it made your top five.
I genuinely think you need to reevaluate your life. I'm not even trying to be rude about it, but I think you need to reevaluate your life choices.
They made the top five over the hero from the Fable series.
Yeah.
Who was like an honorable mention for me. The Joel from The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Ellie from The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody else.
Luigi?
Waluigi?
Waluigi.
I get some vote for Waluigi if that makes you feel better.
Also, Sam and Chloe from Life is Strange.
They're all great characters.
Connor from Detroit Become Human.
Great
character.
These are all great characters.
But also, you felt the need to make Master Chief and the Spartan Man as one person.
I had to fit Joe Martin in, so I had to condense Master Chief and Noble Six into one character.
So when I apologized for not letting you speak earlier, I actually fully take that back. We should never let you talk.
Should have been cut a bit short. It's going on a bit longer than expected.
I should have been like, we don't have time.
We've run out of playable characters. This is all going to get cut out.
I don't understand.
So you really have had more enjoyment out of the character, not the play of the game, but the character of Mr. Joe Martin.
Yeah.
Who is number 42 for the somethings.
Maple Ridge Thunder.
I have a question.
Then you did when you played as Joel from The Last of Us.
I have a lot of fun playing
Aloy.
Aloy? Does the play...
Aloy's a good character.
Does the character change the play?
I actually hate you right now.
I have a different question.
There are classes. You pick out like a dangler, a sniper, a playmaker, or a goalie. Like you've got hybrid, butterfly, stand up.
He's better.
It drastically changes the gameplay.
Bjorn the Unicorn.
You don't play as Bjorn the Unicorn. He's your.
You do actually play.
He's
as
your buddy.
Bjorn
nope. He's your buddy. you never actually play as him. We talked about this, and you guys wouldn't let me. You wouldn't let me classify him as a playable character in an earlier podcast. We talked about something about this, and you wouldn't. He was technically not a playable character because he is your animal buddy guy, guide. I don't remember what it was.
You are the worst.
So he's the first Peggle master the player meets in every single game of the franchise. He's the headmaster of the Peggle Institute. He's featured in all Peggle games.
But do you play as him? You do not play as him. He helps you. You unlock his ability and he helps you beat the levels.
I cannot believe we are sitting here and you are putting Joe Martin the list.
The other day, Nick Suzuki came up to me in the locker room and asked me if I wanted to go to a movie with him. And I said yes. And we went to a movie together. And it was wonderful. Joe Martin and Nick Suzuki went to a movie with the rest of the team. And then the rest of the team also came.
I don't care.
I have a question. So Marissa said Mr. Joe Martin. Did you create this character and his backstory completely?
You pick his like city of origin and
do you think maybe in your head that he has a PhD? Maybe he's Dr. Joe Martin.
Is he Doc Martin?
Maybe he has a PhD. You don't know. Like, I'm just trying to figure out the character. Maybe I want to play as
Dr. Joe Martin. Dr. Joe Martin.
I want to leave this conversation. I was so happy to talk about it. It's on to our next segment.
I need some more backstory. That's all I'm saying.
Violently right now.
I can give you a backstory.
He's better than playing as like Yugi. What about Yugi?
You don't really play as Yugi.
I guess in
Duel Links you kind of play as Yugi. Not Duel Links. Whatever the one that went through the manga was. But like in Duel Masters, you play as you play as yourself.
I actually just vehemently don't like you right now.
Oh, this is just the game. I typed in Yu-Gi-Oh game and it was just
No, did you get the rules to how to play the Yu-Gi-Oh card game?
Yeah. Was it Legacy Evolution? Of the Duelist?
I would have accepted any other answer. Any other answer.
No, I'm gonna stick with it just because it made everybody upset. Chaos.
Chaos.
It's not chaos, it's just anger.
Yeah, that causes it's chaos. I'm causing chaos.
Well, we do actually need to move on to our next segment. I said my honorable mentions while I was yelling at Sacco, so we are going to be talking about what games we are currently playing. I'm not going to let Sacco talk, so Matt.
I am currently playing Pokemon Scarlet, and I'm enjoying it. It's fun.
I am also playing Pokemon Violet. Convenient.
You hear people talk about frame rates and you make an assumption in your head and somehow you're still let down. It's like there will be somebody standing 1 foot in front of me and they'll be glitching their way through the town. And I'm like, how is this happening right now?
How did this happen?
Unless I'm physically touching them, they're glitching.
Is it not though also the question? We have an audio podcast, so you just did a whole bunch of motions that no one saw, not going to translate.
I hope my mic picked up the wind from how fast I was moving.
So, are you not still having fun, though?
Oh, it's so fun. I want to do nothing but play it.
I'm not talking to you anymore.
It made me appreciate Arceus more. If that's possible. Not to keep rubbing in how good of a game Arceus was and how much you should play it, but specifically there's a catching mechanic in Arceus where you don't have to start a battle. You could just throw the Pokeball, and it seems like this game would benefit greatly from it, because I don't want to constantly battle Pokemon. Like, if I could just throw the Pokeball and catch it and then keep going on, like, that would be great. But other than that, and the fact that Arceus literally has no frame rate issues... I don't get it because they're the same size game, but it made me appreciate Arceus more. But it's still, I'm having the most fun that I can. 10 out of 10 game, even with all the glitches.
That's fair. That's totally
absolutely fair. Loving it.
I did I think we talked about this a little bit already, although I don't know if it was on the podcast. I don't think it was. I downloaded Elden Ring. We haven't talked about that on the podcast. Yeah, have we?
You mentioned it this podcast.
You mentioned the way that the character is a lot more personal, but you never actually said the sentence, "I'm playing Elden Ring."
It was my like New Year's resolution, which we talked about in our like previous one, was kind of doing a little bit of Elden Ring. I have started that.
First opinions.
It's good. I think I'm going to become very obsessed with it. The magic feels really cool to use, which I like. I am scared to do anything in this game because I feel like I'm going to like touch a bunny and it's going to like explode just into a monster world. That's like, I just like, I'm going to die.
You got to be careful of the world ending bunnies, Marissa.
I would not put it past from software. I would not put it past from software. I think it's really pretty to play in, despite the fact that I'm like scared at every single passing moment.
Was there a difficulty option, or is you just you play?
No, no, you just hit play. Yeah. So I did that, and it was a little learning. I think a lot of people who probably started with Elden Ring and haven't played any of the other From Software games might have had a similar experience where you just kind of learn it by dying. Yeah. And that's like, I know that that's sometimes like a frustrating way to do like a tutorial almost. Yeah. But they show like these like blood stains on the ground, and if you interact with them, you see a ghost. And of course, that is how somebody died. And that makes sense when you think about it. When you first turn on the game and you have forgotten that's what they did. No, I was like, oh, cool. This person just jumped off the ledge. So I should jump off the ledge as well.
Naturally. I mean, there's stairs, but who the fuck wants to take those?
I don't want to take those. I'm going to jump off the ledge. This seems like a really smart idea. And then you die. You feel like an idiot. And you're very quickly shamed into realizing what actually just happened. So there was a lot of that. There was an intentional death that they kind of throw at you right at the start. And then, I think I'm going to really like it. I think I just have to make peace with the fact that I am going to die a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I have to think about this almost like I think about Cuphead, where I'm not shamed when I die, even in a stupid way. I just kind of am like, okay, we're going to do better.
Every moment is a learning moment.
Yes, I have to just kind of get over that. Mm-hmm. It's a little hard because I don't like the "you died" screen. So it's I'm not.
It seems like they're shaming you, but like every moment is a learning moment. They are shaming me.
Yes, but you know, like I think I'm gonna have fun. So I think it's gonna be good. I definitely, it'll be interesting to see. I also have picked back up Pokemon Violet.
They're fun. It's fun.
And I'm playing a lot of Magic: The Gathering as well, and then obviously I'm streaming Final Fantasy, as we kind of mentioned before. Mm-hmm. Zacho, how about you? I don't want to hear the words NHL or Chell come out of your mouth, though.
I also don't want to hear Formula One or the usuals. What are you playing this week?
Plague Tale Requiem.
Nice!
You guys didn't expect that one! Ha ha! Got ya! That was one of my New Year's resolutions, was play... I don't know if it was a New Year's resolution or if it was part of the Game Awards podcast.
It was the Game Awards.
The Game Awards one. I said I was going to play Plague Tale Requiem. And so, I started it. It's quite fun. Lots of sneaking going on. If you do not like sneaking games, this is not the game for you. I'm usually pretty like calm when I'm playing video games. This game gives me a little bit of anxiety while I'm playing it. Because I don't know if it's just the way I'm playing or it's the way the levels are set up. But it seems like you have to sneak by everybody to get to the exit. But it seems like the exit is placed in a way that you can't sneak by everybody. So when you get to the exit, everyone is alerted and you have to run through the door and then lock it behind you. So it always feels like you're like so close to getting caught.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know, again, I don't know if I'm just not playing it properly, but it seemed like, so far, just every fucking door I've gone through,
be better at sneaking.
It's like, hey, what are you doing over there? Nothing. And then I'm fucking running to the door, like full sprint.
I have two things to say. One, yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Two, I have seen you play sneak missions. I am not convinced good at them. That you are not playing it wrong. I'm not convinced that you aren't, like, you might be playing them correctly, because I could see the game doing something like that. However, I am a very cautious person, and when I watch and you play sneak missions, I want to cry, because you really challenge the edge of where sneaking becomes running away.
It's a valid strategy. Like, whenever I'm in a sneaking mission, it's you sneak until you can reach the door by sprinting. Like, that's the strategy for any game.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're doubling down on it on this game, it's like, I'm sure there's a way.
I do believe that maybe this is a mechanic of the game just to heighten it.
Yeah.
Like, where as soon as you touch the door, they are kind of all alerted, which is fair as well, because, like, if you're in a room, like, if it's small enough, like, you're going to know when somebody grabs the door.
Yeah, and it's
like, you know what I mean?
It's, like, kind of, like, Last of Us style, but, like, not really, in that, like, you can't really kill. Like, you know, like, the clickers from Last of Us? You couldn't kill them unless you had, a shiv or a knife.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've only ever seen, so far, one knife in this game, and I've played, I think, through the first two chapters. And it once you like use the knife,
me and Matt's,
yeah,
it like seems like nightmare. Both me and Matt's worst nightmares, like, combined.
So once,
like,
you it's kill sneaking, someone,
which he could handle,
yeah,
and it's resource management, which I could handle, but together, it's we would just both be not upset. About it.
Yeah, if you kill someone with the knife is gone. You do not get the naturally, knife back.
Because that's what happens
so to you get, when you... The knife gives you one kill.
They actually disappear into bodies.
Your only other weapon is a slingshot with a rock in it. But that was really only useful for chapter one, because then chapter two came around and everyone had helmets on. And so the fucking slingshot did nothing. Yeah. So
you need to put a bigger rock. You get a sharp rock.
There is no sharp rocks. There's no bigger rocks.
The neck.
I can throw pots at them. And all that does can is you piss use the them slingshot? Off, and then they chase me.
Yeah, can you use the slingshot to, like, make a noise in the corner so that they all run?
Yeah, so that's, you can distract people.
It seems like that's what the slingshot's for.
Well, though, you also can throw the rock by hand. So, like, so the rock itself, like, in the first chapter, it was to stun people. You could hit them in the head with a rock, they'll get stunned for a little bit, and then you can go by them. And they're like, hey, remember that thing you learned in the first chapter? Go fuck yourself.
Forget now they have about helmets it. On.
Yeah.
Just aim for the small children, I guess. I don't know.
All right. Well, I hate to wrap this up because we are having fun. I am the small child. But that does conclude this episode of the Crown Heathens podcast. So you can check us out on social media. We have a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/CrownHeathens. We also have an Instagram, a TikTok, and a Twitter, all at Crown Heathens on all of those. We have a YouTube channel if you're so interested in that. And otherwise, any final thoughts, guys?
Just, it's never a bad time to start something new.
Fantastic.
If, as long as the something new is a positive thing.
If you don't want to get knocked out by a rock, wear a helmet.
Good wow, words of where's wisdom. The wisdom? Fantastic. Well, that does conclude it. So thank you so much for listening. And as always, we will catch you in the next one. Bye, friends. Oh, I feel bad. I
feel bad for what? Cutting off
for Psycho? No, I don't feel bad about that. I feel bad that I started a podcast with someone who doesn't understand the qualities of a good playable character.
Listen, Joe Martin's.
I feel bad that I can't create good high quality. We'll talk right over Joe Martin. Unless he's a doctor, and then I'll listen to him.
I hate Joe Martin. I hate that
guy. I listen to Dr. Martin all day. I feel bad that the audio quality is not going to be preferred. It was a rough one, but we made it through.
Wow.
We did it.
Wow.
I'm going to not speak for the next week.
We made
it's
it.
It's a lie. I'm going to continue to speak.
Yeah.
Look at us. Who would have thought?
Wow.